This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
It's only the players that could be ultimate competitors, in my mind. They're the ones that are actually on the field. Coaching is, you're an advice giver. So I just, the way you phrased the question, and the other side of that is, there was you know, walking off the field at that Super Bowl was like, there'll be another day. And then there wasn't, you know, for many years.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass feeding you some NFL lunch. You just heard from Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh there talking about John Harbaugh having the edge over in their matchups. He said, you know, it's mostly the players, which he's right. The players are the ones that dictate the outcome of the game. But obviously a lot's going to be made of these two brothers going head-to-head on Monday night.
And you know what? You can make all you want about Jim versus John, but if Lamar plays his normal game, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole key. The only reason Pittsburgh had a chance because Lamar was not playing good. You know, and if Lamar plays like he has 118 quarterback rating or whatever, and they're going to score 30 points, they're going to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree. I mean, they go as Lamar goes.
It's, right.
He's got to be the guy pretty much every week. The question just inevitably comes, especially in the postseason and in some of these bigger games when he's not at the Lamar-esque typical level that we're used to seeing. Can they win when Lamar's not having an MVP type of performance? And so far, it just seems like they can't.
Well, they can. I mean, he didn't have MVP type performance. But then throw on top of that three turnovers and 12 penalties.
I mean, yeah, they end up beating themselves.
With all those three things, there ain't no way in hell. And they almost overcome it. They almost tied it up. And if Tucker makes the two kicks, they're going to win that game. I mean, that's how crazy, you know, it was. I mean, to me, that's how good the Ravens can be, in my opinion. If they put it together, if they could put all three phases together ever, they're an extremely dangerous team. And Cordell, you know what? If I'm doing the Chris, listen to me. When you talk to him tomorrow, tell Chris I said on the kickoffs, kick it deep every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what? If one of your guys catches in the end zone, just kneel down. Then we get no penalties.
And that's the thing. I mean, these so many penalties on the returns.
Right. Keaton brought it up to the 32 or whatever. Now, Cincinnati had a couple nice returns against Chargers.
Now, let's go out to New York, check in on the Jets. Real quick, so much going on with that franchise. It just seems to get worse by the day. But reports came out yesterday that Jets owner Woody Johnson wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers for poor performance back in September. And obviously that hasn't happened. He ends up going rogue, fires Robert Saleh. They just fired the GM, Joe Douglas, the other day. I mean, what do you make of... And you've obviously got some history and owners being very involved. But what do you make of what's going on out in New York with Woody Johnson and the Jets?
It's a cluster Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a mess. And I don't know that you can. I mean, it's the Jets and there's only 32 of them. So, you know, are you going to get a GM that really wants to come over and take all the issue? You got no quarterback.
A couple of weeks ago, Rodgers was saying he had planned to play next year. I wonder if that's still the case.
Yeah. It's you're starting over. Mm-hmm. There's no way in hell Ben Johnson, let's say, is taking that job.
No. No.
Even a Belichick or a Mike Vrabel, they're mm-hmm. like, don't even call.
Right.
I think Woody's got to get a coach that is an up-and-comer that they hope become one of those types of guys.
And I'm just having trouble thinking of who the right guy is for that organization right now because they're in such bad shape. Let's go to the other team in New York, the Giants. They bench Daniel Jones, bump him all the way down to fourth on the depth chart.
He's not even going to – he'll never put on a Giants uniform again. They were talking about, are they even going to let him practice?
Yeah.
Because they don't want him to get hurt.
Right. And now they go back to Tommy DeVito, skip over Drew Locke. I mean, whatever. Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, whoever it is, same result. It doesn't
more
really matter.
More fans are going to come out for DeVito than Locke.
Yeah, for sure. But with the Giants, I mean, how do you see their situation going? Do they make a coaching change before the season ends or most likely even after the season?
They're the odds-on favorite, Cordell, to have the first pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, coaching change? I mean, you got to do something. I mean, the Barkley thing, you know, with the GM.
Do you think the GM should go before the coach?
But here's the only thing is if you fired a GM, bring in a new GM, he's going to want his own coach eventually. So if you're going to fire the GM, you might as well fire the coach. If you're just going to fire the coach, then I guess you're okay if you want to keep the GM. But they've got some pieces. You know, you got a receiver, you got some pieces, and then you get the first pick of the draft. And every college, you know, person that you talk to says Shedeur Sanders is the best college quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that right now. And look, they found a stud at the running back position, too, with Tyrone Tracy, who's a rookie himself. He's been tremendous for them this season. Let's go out to the NFC West. It's been a weird year for the NFC West. Arizona sits atop that division right now. We've seen Arizona go to San Francisco and beat the Niners. We just saw the Seahawks go to San Francisco and beat the Niners. The Niners are getting healthier while at the same time getting more injured. Brock Purdy's dealing with a shoulder injury right now. I mean, what do you make of the West? Do you buy the Cardinals more than the other three teams?
Well, you know what? When watching that thing that I don't know if it was Hard Knocks or the thing where they had on the receivers, had Samuel and Kittle and
receiver.
Yeah. And just seems like Samuel keeps getting hurt and he's playing less and less. And he almost looks like he's kind of done, you know, Cordell. I mean, at least being able to play a lot of influential time. He just seems like he's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the way that he plays.
I was about to say that. Yeah, I mean, they ask a lot of him, and he produces over his career he has. But, yeah, it definitely. You watch Debo this year, it's not the same. And losing Ayuk is more of a pure receiver. Debo's not the pure receiver. I think that's why you see Juwan Jennings kind of being showcased the way that he has been so far this season is because he can do more of the true receiver things that Debo's a fine receiver, but he's more of a great football player than he is a wide receiver.
Now, does Ayuk get hurt if he'd been practicing every day in training camp and stuff? I mean, that's
tough to know, but I will say I don't think Ayuk, because he wasn't having a great year even before he got hurt. I don't think he looks as bad as he did if he was out there for camp this summer. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to Vinny's second film breakdown. We talked about the Chargers offense earlier. Let's check in on that defense that's next here on the film.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Remember, send in your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that in about 30 minutes. Or so. Coming up at 1:30, we'll talk some sports with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio, talk some fantasy football, some real football as well. But right now, we're back in the film room. We looked at that Chargers offense earlier. Let's check in on the defense.
Yeah, let's take a look at the D. I think overall, you know, watching that game from last week, it was they're up 24-6 at the half, and then in the second half, they couldn't stop Cincinnati. Talent-wise, you know, they have a corner, Christian Fulton, number 7. I like him. I think he seemed like he was kind of going with the top receiver most of the time. But if they get a set of referees that call anything to do with contact with DBs, he's going to get a lot of flags. He's like Joey Porter. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joey Porter, you know, with the wrong refs, well, he had 3 the game before. That's the type that this kid is. He grabs, he holds, he pushes. But he's, other than that, you know, I mean, he plays well. And then 20, Cam Hart, the other corner, he played a half, and then he went out. I thought Cam Hart wasn't bad. He wasn't as good as 7, but I didn't think he was a bad starter. Because then Eli Apple came in, and Jahir Taylor came in, and Tareeb Still. Their backups were not as good as those guys. So that was kind of a downfall. I think their safeties, Alohi Gilman, number 32, and Elijah Molden, 22. I think they're average at best. I mean, they're both like Geno Stone type guys, mm-hmm. is what they are. Kind of like Cincinnati. They don't run that well, and they gave up a big play touchdown in the game on Sunday. Now, Derwin James, they list him as a nickelback. He plays kind of like Kyle Hamilton plays, what he does. And he's got really good instincts, and he's physical. Now, I mean, he's a good football player.
Really good.
Yeah. So he's going to be heavily involved in the run stuff. And I really like him. You know, when he drops into zones, he reads that coverage extremely well. I mean, he sees it. He can plant, drive, and go. And he's a physical dude. I'm guessing that Derwin James... Lamar, yep. I got you.
Yep.
That's what I think. Yep. I think Derwin James will be, and, you know, so that'll be somewhat of a challenge. And you know what? If I'm the Ravens and you say, okay, Derwin James is going to sit there for Lamar. All right, cool. You're basically playing with 10 mm-hmm. then on defense. So that's the way I look. Now, D-Law, the D-tackles, Puna Ford, number 95, he's a good football player.
Always liked Puna Ford back in his days in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some quicks. He's nose tackle, and he's a bigger guy. So what's he going to do? He's going to cause Linderbaum some issues. Because Linderbaum has problems with any big guy that's got some quickness. He's going to have some problems. If he lines up over Falele, Falele's going to have some problems. Falele handles big guys good, but the quickness is what would get Falele. And then Atito Agbonya, number 93, he's all right. You know, he's okay. What they do is they do a really nice job. I mean, and so does Tyre Tart, number 90 and 56. Those are the guys that come in. They do a real nice job keeping her shoulder square. And those two big guys inside do a good job taking up two and letting the linebackers run. So I was impressed with how they keep their shoulder square. And they can find a football. Just kind of wear down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're pass rushers. With Bosa. Joey Bosa. Joey usually comes from the right side, but he'll go on both sides. Defensive right side. He's got a good bull rush. And he rushes hard. Wears down. I think because he doesn't play. You know, he's been hurt some and stuff. I think he kind of wears down. But he'll cause Ronnie some issues with the bull rush. Khalil Mack, he didn't play last week. 45.
He's supposed to be back this week, though.
That's fine. Tuli Tuipulotu, number 45, played on the left side. He's another guy that plays hard, going to bull rush. But I did see what a nice, he had a nice spin move back inside one time. So he's got it in there. But what their defensive front does is they can get some pressure at times, but not consistently. They don't get consistent pressure. And I think, you know, if Lamar's scrambling around and stuff and doing all that, these guys will wear down. And I think they wore down some against the Bengals because the Bengals kept scoring in the second half. Now, the linebackers, Deion Henley, number zero. He's a good football player.
Fast.
Yep, he's fast. And Cordell, see how much he weighs because he doesn't look like a real big guy. And he reaps the benefits because those two hogs in the middle, they take two. And by them taking two, what happens? Nobody's comboing up, so he's got free run.
6'1", 225.
Yeah, so he's light. You know, I mean, when your running back is 250, but he can run sideline to sideline. So, you know, them running wide might be difficult. Running north-south might be all right. And then Denzel Perryman, number six, the other inside linebacker, he's all right too. I think they get production and stuff. They can both run well. And the two big guys in up front protect them. And that's the biggest thing because it allows smaller guys to run and make plays. And if you're a lineman and you got a free, if you're Lindebaum, you got a free release at the linebacker, oh, that's like taking candy from a baby. So overall, defensively, kind of inconsistent is what they were this past week. They were good. You know, they were getting some pressure. They didn't give up a ton on the ground. And the receivers were doing a real good job in coverage. And the coverage made Burrow, you know, help them get pressure. But in the second half, they found some spots where they were getting open. You can get, if they're playing zone coverage, there'll be some holes to throw to. Man coverage, you got to beat man coverage. And if the referees are calling it tight, then they'll have a really tough time in man coverage. Got to be able to take advantage of the two safeties. That's what you got to be able to take advantage of because that's the weak link in the back end.
Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan. We got time to grab a call before we go to break. Let's do it. Let's go to Ed in Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. You're on The Fan.
Yes, sir. Cordell, Vinny, good afternoon, both you gentlemen.
Same
to you.
What's going
on?
Upcoming Charger game, primary concern, avoid stacking losses. A victory Monday to go 8-4, 750 winning percentage with five left, and an advantageous bye on the horizon would bode well. Raven offense, Lamar and Henry, two Heisman Trophy winners in the same backfield. Both players proof positive by their stellar pro careers were worthy of that honor. My opinion, I like Henry most on a toss pitch, up front zone blocking, C-gap, what required on the kickout spring block. It affords him downhill momentum to square his shoulders with clear vision for his decision to bounce cut to his liking. Establish that, play action will sell effectively for change of pace wheel routes, screens, and boot waggles to further create downfield opportunities for tight ends and wideouts. That's Raven offense, full throttle. maintain your identity. Don't change it for anyone. That's it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Ed. And be yourself. That's kind of what we've all been trying to push for the Ravens to do each time they're out there. It's just, you know, be you. And usually good things happen for them.
Usually, last time, and we were talking about it yesterday, last time when people were bitching about Henry didn't get the ball enough, I think the next game he got like 25. That's mm-hmm. when he had, I think, a couple hundred yards or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they do. I do like Henry coming out of the backfield. I think that's a productive play. I mean, mm-hmm. it got called back just because he's, you know, so much bigger and more powerful than the DBs.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Get to talk some football with Mike Harmon, even a little fantasy football as well. That's next here on The Fan. Let's bring in my guy Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio, talk some sports with him. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, fellas? How are we on this fine Thursday?
We're doing good, Mike.
Not bad, not bad at all. Mike, let's start out in New York. Both of these teams are a mess, and I'm talking about the Giants and the Jets. These days, if you can, I mean, which of these franchises do you feel like is in a worse spot?
Well, the old rule of thumb, and it's something that's been a tenet on the show for Smith and I for many years, is you can change out a lot of things that are bad, but if it's bad at the top, well, it won't. So that would give me the Jets being in a worse situation because Woody Johnson and his brother aren't going anywhere, whether they're in political, you know, posts or not. It's still the same thing. With the Giants, we've at least got some history that they can find their way into the right spot. Now, it's been a minute, but you clear house and that you can get a hard reset and get going. With the Jets, you still have the specter that is Aaron Rodgers, but again, with Johnson at the top, are you trusting any of the decisions that they've really made going back 4 decades? No. No, you're not.
Hey, Mike, what's the buzz for the Monday night game in L.A.?
Oh, it's absurd, right? It's Harbaugh and all of that stuff. The love fest between Jim and Justin Herbert is borderline nauseating. But it's good to finally get a little bit of a surge of interest in the Chargers. Hey, look, it's a Dodger town, then the Lakers, and then everything else is a very distant third and beyond. But the style of football that's being played, we've joked about the billboards with you guys in the past, but there's finally at least a little bit of excitement that they're going to be relevant. And it's not a, all right, here's a lot of talent that just fizzles. And with this kind of matchup coming into town, the star power, and all the headlines that you can write from it. Yeah, it's everything I think you want. And the beauty of it is, I mean, you got 3 days of football here yeah. that really kind of take over because you got USC,
UCLA.
Yeah, followed by Philadelphia coming in to play the Rams for Sunday night football. Philadelphia on the surge rising up, right? Probably only second to the Lions in the NFC. And then you've got the Rams where everybody's still wondering what they are in what is a very convoluted and confusing NFC beyond those first couple of posts.
Hey, Mike, how do the Chargers draw there? Because like when I was at Niners and stuff, we go to San Diego, that place would be packed all the time. And, you know, is this a type of game with the Chargers where a lot of the visiting teams fans show up?
Yeah, you're still going to have a pretty good contingent. I got to imagine you guys know some people in your lives that have already figured out how to make the trip out here since it is the beginning of a holiday week, that it just becomes a let's go to Southern California, let's do the theme parks, and let's start it all off with a football game. So that would be my guess, is that you still have a very large, although, you know, last week was a little different. That was a pro Chargers crowd and a roar that I don't know that I've heard. And, you know, folks start getting all conspiracy theorists. And there's not that many of them. So where's that noise coming from? I'll leave that for people to decide with their own decibel meters what happens there. But it is growing. And I think it's, when there's winning football, it's like anything, guys, right? If you're winning, people show up, yeah. right? You know, you can have the greatest stadium in the world, And yes, it becomes a tourist kind of destination for folks. And again, being in Los Angeles, that's a nice, beautiful thing, you know, because that's what they did for years in Anaheim. Hey, we'll go see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, but really we're going to Disneyland, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it's starting to turn. We're starting to see more football, and the get-in prices are starting to creep up with it. It's a good thing.
We're talking to Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio as Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Mike, let's go to your Bears. Obviously a huge change on the offensive side of the ball, moving on from all their former offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. Now, this week, what did you think of the first game without him?
Good riddance. They're not done because they gave away another game. You know, it's another great example of how close the NFL is and their efforts to achieve parity, the margins, right? Because take the Washington game and take this game against Green Bay, you flip them and the Bears are the sixth seed, right? So all of that to say, when the devil's in the details and you're consistently proven wrong and then you're obstinate about it, and that's where the Eberflus part of it all comes together. Something I was yelling about, and I felt validated when they didn't at least try to set Santos up on the right hash mark. And then you got, you know, legendary kicker Robbie Gould, that's been the thing he's been jumping up and down on all week. I'm like, I'm smart. See, look at me. Look at me. This guy agrees with me. But it's the kind of thing where, look, Caleb was better. They were more efficient. He made some big boy throws, some big time decisions. And once again, look, it doesn't have to be perfect. We're watching, you know, winning football all over the place. Tonight, you've got the Steelers and the Browns. Anybody that's trying to convince himself that Russell Wilson's been great has just decided they love Russell Wilson and they want to go back to the good old days when it was him and the Legion of Boom and everything in Seattle. Same thing in Chicago. No matter what Caleb Williams does, there's going to be the fringe. I mean, like a lot of the things in our society, the fringe on one end that thinks he's still missing here, the others that have blinders on that just blame coaches and offensive linemen and whatever else. And then in the middle, everybody's a bit reasonable going, he's a rookie and he's learning and you have to help him. So at least for a week, they simplified it, right? Roshon Johnson, who I've talked with you guys a lot about through the season plus, is all right. He had 11 carries. Go figure, running the ball north and south does good things. I don't know. You guys might know something about that there in Baltimore. So all of that to say, better setups for Williams to operate led to more efficient drives. It's another soul-crushing loss to the Packers. And in the middle of all this, guys, with everything swirling around, the fact that they cut a guy they signed to a 3-year, $30 million deal to be on the O-line was like headline 9 last week, which is just absurd. Hey, here's one of your problems. You swung and missed. I was going to say Chris Davis-like, but that's too low hanging fruit.
Hey, Mike, who are the plays tonight, if any, in the rain and snow and sleet?
Well, I think as we look at it for tonight, I mean, it's where we get back in it. It's a lot of twos and threes, right? I'm not necessarily diving all in. As I mentioned, Russ, he's no better than a mid-two. Jameis, no thank you against this defense. I think I'd play the Pittsburgh defense, to be honest with you. And then from the running back position, Chubb's in, but again, he's going to be a mid-two with, you know, hoping and wishing for upside. Both the Pittsburgh running backs, Najee Harris, would be right about the same, probably about running back 20. Wide receivers, Pickens is in because we'll look for a moon ball or two maybe to find their way into his gut. Otherwise, no thank you. No thank you. I think this is one where I'll just happily sit on the sideline. And Njoku will hang a star on him because the tight end position is what it is, so that probably gets him into the top 10 or 12 in your league. But given that he's been on the injury report and this is not exactly a friendly defense for such things, I think I'd sit him down too. So there you go. We got to Harris, we got to Pickens, and we got to the defense. Everybody else, grab some popcorn and watch.
There he is, Mike Harmon. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk again next week.
Right on, guys.
Peace. Enjoy your weekend when UCLA is better than USC.
It is kind of entertaining, right? The guy that, when he was asked where they were and what they were all about, well, you know, we're in L.A. Let him coach. Don't put him in front of microphones. Right. That's really what we've Sean Foster this year.
And let him run a football, at least back in his heyday. He was pretty good at that, too.
Well, you know what? If he can insert himself, that might help. They've been playing better football of late, though. They've been buttoned down.
They have.
And won for Lincoln Riley. I think they'll be passing the hat by the third quarter if things are going awry. Hey, can we get the $70 million? Who's got a big novelty check for us?
Mike, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again next time.
All right, guys. Be good. Thanks. Have a good week.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, get you the Featured Artist Friday winner, make a trip through the Funhouse, and all that before Inside Access takes over at 2 next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start here with Don in Severna Park, who says, I'm actually feeling pretty good about the stats that say Lamar usually bounces back after a bad game. He usually plays well in prime time as well. And the Ravens as a whole have a way of bouncing back after disappointing losses, feeling good about Monday night.
Yeah, and normally what he does on those type games is he runs it a lot more on those games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will, you know, because he'll have watched that film, Cordell, and he'll say, damn, why didn't I run? So when he gets in those situations Monday night, I'll bet you he takes off and runs.
Is there any element of a revenge factor in this game? I mean, it's a lot of people on the other side of the field now. I mean, J.K. wasn't necessarily thrilled here with how his time ended. I don't know how Greg Roman feels about how that situation ended.
Well, if you get fired, you're not happy.
I mean,
but he did get paid for another year.
That's why I said that. You know, it's not like he got kicked out and they took the checks back. I mean, he got paid for a year after that as well. So I am curious to see how, you know, the two sides who have a lot of familiarity, how it, you know, what the emotion is like out there.
Got one here on the Orioles. Corbin Burnes finished fifth in the American League Cy Young voting. Surprising some, including this texter, who says that bad month of August definitely cost him the award, although Scooble might have edged him out in the end either way. The real problem I have is him finishing behind Seth Lugo, who had a higher ERA and less strikeouts than Burnes in similar innings.
And Seth Lugo finished second on the list. I mean, he was ahead of Class A and ahead of Raggins as well. I mean, yeah, like the texter, I didn't have an issue with Scooble winning. Scooble was arguably the best pitcher in baseball this year, let alone the American League. So I don't have an issue with that. And yeah, I mean, August definitely cost Burnes, but I don't think it should have cost him that much to where he went from a top three candidate all the way down to five. Five just doesn't sit well with me. And that's not a shot at the other four guys ahead of him. It just feels like too low of a spot in my mind.
Texter here says the Harbaugh debates, weekly debates it seems, mm-hmm. are getting a little old at this point between fans. Personally, I'm not a big fan of him, says the texter, but it's hard for me to complain or point to him as the reason they lost this past Sunday. There's been plenty of moments in the past where he screws up challenges, forgets basic rules to the game. I'll run hot when that happens, but this past week was on the players.
Totally agree with that. And, I mean, it just seems like in Baltimore, if you lose, whether baseball or football, on a Monday or a day after a game, you know, or you lose a series, baseball, fire the coach.
My thing is, and I think I'm with the texter, I'm kind of going to piggyback a little bit where he says he's tired of the Harbaugh firing debates every week. It feels like I'm kind of tired of every time the Ravens lose, the first thing everybody says is
fire Harbs.
Well, not that. Well, that too. But also, oh, well, if the Ravens had went, the Ravens beat themselves, or if the Ravens had did this, they would have won. I feel like you could say that about a lot of good teams around the league every week when they lose. At what point is it that the Ravens just aren't a team that's playing a complete game for all four quarters? I mean, when's the last time that they have, or at least on a consistent basis? They're a really good team, really good team. And when they get up on you, they can really take your heart and soul away from you to where you don't even want to play in the fourth quarter. My issue is when they face some of these tough teams like Pittsburgh, when they have to get into an ugly dog fight, I just don't know if they're winning those games.
One last one for the road. Texter says the Ravens would rather hope that Tucker corrects himself than make the difficult but necessary decision to yank him. It's all fun and games until he costs them a big game. Yes, even bigger than Ravens versus Steelers. And at that point, they will fully scapegoat Tucker, not take any accountability for what they could have done weeks prior.
But there's nobody that you would want on the street that's better than Justin Tucker that you would want out there kicking.
If you're not going to show patience with Tucker, I mean, what other kicker are you willing to show that type of patience with?
Yep.
Is my thing. And it's bad right now. I don't want to discount that, but you don't want to just start overreacting and hitting the panic button. Sometimes you got to let things play out. And right now, their best option is still Justin Tucker if he can find a way to be Justin Tucker. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate Quick Draw as always. All our guests, everybody that called in. Thank you guys for listening today. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. We're back tomorrow morning. Until then, class dismissed.